God breaks in. God breaks through. As they say, God dawns on Marblehead. You know, we can be pretty thick-headed. God is trying to say something and touch our lives in some way, and we're like, God, I'm waiting. And he's already speaking, but your Rolodex in your head is it's creating wind in your head because it's revolving so fast. And God says, I just want to love you. Hebrews chapter 6 is our text today, verse 9 to 20. This, at least in my Bible, the caption says, better things for you. Better things. You're not always going to be facing some of the stuff that you're dealing with. God has a plan, and that plan will not fail. I better stick to my text because I'm going to start preaching another message this morning. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, that's you, that's me. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. Though we are speaking in this way. Well, Paul was giving him a little bit of a verbal nerf bat spanking in the previous verses about falling away from their first love and their walk being tarnished in Christ by poor choices and poor thinking and not knowing who they were and are. Things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you've shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, till Jesus comes. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. The promises are the promises. They're ironclad. So if you find yourself being sluggish, pull up your pants. Gird up your loins, as Paul says elsewhere, and start walking the walk. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, Abraham, he obtained the promises. He had to go through some stuff. His faith was tested. But he persevered in spite of what he saw, in spite of what he was going through, he held on to the promise, to God's word, to him. I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply you. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath is given as confirmation, as an end to every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, that's you, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered, a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Blessed be his glorious name. We're in a season, unless you're blind and deaf, we're in a season of negativity, of bad news, of false news and lies. So, it's more important than ever, Hebrews 12:2, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says here. Believe in God the Father, and believe also in me. Not just believe him for salvation, but believe the word of God, that it will produce what it says it will produce. Righteousness in you. The hope of glory in you. Steadfastness, faith, perseverance, and a host of other things in you. John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word. What does abide mean? It means living in and living out the word in the way you live your life. Not just knowing the word, but putting it into practice. Living it out. So the world can see you belong to him. You are his follower. There's no question about it. You demonstrate it by the way you live. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make or set you free. Set you free from what? Have you ever thought about that? It says the truth will set you free. From fear, anxiety, worry, deception, lies, and so much more. If only Proverbs 3:5-6, we trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean on this organ right here. It will lead you astray. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Look to him, trust in him, and he will direct your path, or he will make your path straight. I like to think it's saying there, no detours, no unnecessary detours in your life. You get right to it, right where God wants you to be, with no delay. So just a very crucial part of this whole process is waiting and trusting, because it births fresh faith and renewed vision. I don't know about you, but yesterday's faith is not sufficient for today or tomorrow. And I need a vision for the future. You need a vision for the future. And it comes in increments. Yes, you might have an overall picture or an indication, but you don't know the step-by-step plan of the plan until you get there, until you seek the Lord while he may be found, and you call upon him while he is near. Fresh faith and renewed vision for today. That's our title this morning. You need fresh faith? I do. You need renewed vision? Absolutely, without exception. Number one, how do we get this? How do we arrive? How do we keep walking the walk and fighting the good fight? Number one, we wait in hope. We wait in hope. It says in verse 9 and 10, it tells us he has better things concerning you. So don't look at what's happening now. Don't look at your challenges now. Because God's doing something in you before he can use you. He's changing you and preparing you for the unfolding of that vision he has for your life. And you're going to need fresh faith. I am going to need an extra measure of faith to do some of the things that today, I have no idea what they are. But as long as I keep seeking, as long as I keep waiting in hope, he's going to let me know that. Better things that accompany salvation, provision, power, perspective, promises, protection, peace, and more. Better things that accompany salvation. Romans 5:5, double grace. And hope does not disappoint. Why is that? Because the love of God, his love, his agape love, has been poured out, poured into us, poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's not a mystery, it's the truth. It's not an impossibility, it's the truth. He says it. About time we start believing his word and living and speaking his word. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9, the end of 9 into 10. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. You know, I found out when it says he will deliver us, the root word there is he will draw us unto himself. He will draw us in. That's how we get delivered. We stop doing things our way, and we take direction from the Holy Spirit to rescue us, to deliver us. He on whom we have set what? Our hope. And he will yet deliver us. You don't know what you're going to need to be delivered of tomorrow. But the promise is, he will yet deliver you. That's God's word. Come on, people. Do you believe it or not? So stop fussing, stop complaining and grumbling, and start getting down to kingdom business in this hour. If you have any kind of memory, last week I preached on He Delivers for You, John 5, verses 1 to 9. So verse 10 in our text, Hebrews 6, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love you have shown toward his name. His memory is perfect. He never forgets. That could be a problem for some of us. Except he always forgives. First Thessalonians 1:3. Constantly, Paul's praying here, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of what? Hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Waiting in hope brings dividends. You know, you put your money in the bank, it gives you interest. You put your hope in the Word and in Him, you get interest. Things happen. They don't always happen how you want them to or when you want them to, but they do happen. Because God does the best work, I always say, in the waiting, and in the waiting in hope. Hope is a lifeline that connects you to Jesus. Secondly, wait diligently. It says here in verse 11, "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Whatever hope you have today, tomorrow's going to change. You're going to need tomorrow's hope, and next week's hope, and next year's hope, and so forth. And God will renew that hope in you as He breathes fresh vision and fresh faith and renewed vision into your life. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23 exhorts us, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us, that's you, put your name here, let us hold fast the confession of what? Our hope, without wavering, because why? He who has promised is faithful. He always delivers. He's faithful. Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house." Whose house? You are, the Bible says. If, here's the qualifier, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of what? Our hope until the end. First Peter 1:3, "Blessed are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to what? A living hope." It's alive, it's ongoing. It impacts you. It encourages you to keep going, to not quit. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore," this is you, "therefore gird your minds for action." Clean out the clutter, I would say. "Gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your" what? "Hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, it's like, you ever, I don't watch them anymore, but I always used to like to watch these war movies. And they're up in the plane, and the pilot's talking to the bombardier, or whatever the guy's called, And he's looking at the picture of the radar, and he tells the pilot, "I'm locked in on the target." You got to lock in on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your hope will be strong. It will fulfill you to do and to say whatever He ordains for you. You won't back out. You won't be sluggish, as we're going to get to very, very soon here in the text. We always need to persevere, believe, and have hope. If we don't have hope, we're going to quit. We're going to throw in the towel. You know, I've seen people I know and love quit. They walk away from the Lord. And I say to myself, how is this possible? They lost their way. They lost their hope. They lost their faith. And they lost their vision of who Jesus is, and who and what He has planned for their life. Always persevere, believe, and hope. Romans 8, 24 to 25. In hope we have been saved. You know, even when you didn't know you were looking for hope, you were looking for hope. You were looking for an answer. You were looking for Jesus. In hope we have been saved. For why does one hope for what he sees? Right? If it's something you can quantify, you don't need hope. It's right there. So why does one hope for what he sees? Romans 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, here it is, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We're not moping. We're not a sad sack. People don't come up to us and say, what's wrong with you? You're sending a message. Your hope is lacking. Fresh faith and renewed vision come from waiting in hope and waiting diligently. You can do it. He's made you to withstand and prosper in whatever storm comes your way, without exception. Don't say, oh, but you don't know, Pastor. Well, yeah, I do. I actually do know, because I actually believe the Word of God. Silly me. Number three, in getting fresh faith to keep you going as more than a conqueror, as it says in Romans, and renewed vision for today. Wait in faith and patience. Verses 12 and 5 in our text, Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12, that you may not be sluggish, it says. In other words, don't be slow to respond. When God speaks, when the Holy Spirit directs, you say, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to give. Whatever it is He's asking. That you may not be sluggish, but imitators. Oh, yeah. Imitators. We have many, many examples in the Bible and even in life. Those who have persevered as champions in their faith, as more than conquerors in their faith, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, the promises are the promises. But we, and that's why God was speaking to me about self-imposed shackles during the worship. They are there for us to possess. And we leave them there. We don't claim them. And sometimes it's because we don't even know them, because we don't know His Word. We don't read His Word. We're not sustained on a daily basis by this life-giving Word. There is life. You know, one of my prayers before I even open my Bible to read in the morning is, Lord, thank you for the life that's in this Word for me. This life-changing Word. We sang a song this morning as we said, I'm not who I used to be. That's my testimony. I'm not who I used to be. God did a miraculous intervention in my life. He saved me and He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Come on, people. That's a miracle that He would do that for you. Hallelujah. Waiting in faith and patience to inherit the promises. James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. My friends, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon race that we're in. The race that is set before you is a marathon. You have to be willing to count the cost and keep going. Just slap away those things that the enemy wants to use to trip you up. It's up to you. Otherwise, self-imposed shackles. You believe a lie. You believe when he deceives you, you don't question it because you don't know what this life-changing, life-giving Word is. Waiting in faith and patience. Speaking of Father Abraham, oh, there's so much to study in this man's life. Romans 4:20 and 21. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Remember, he had to wait 10 years for Isaac to be born after God told him he was going to have a son. Would you be willing to wait 10 years? Would I? He did not waver. He took that promise. He believed that promise. And he grew strong in faith. Giving glory to God and being fully assured that what? He had promised, he was also able to perform. It's about time you start believing that you have a great big God and an itty bitty devil. You give him more credit than he deserves. I don't talk to the devil. I talk to God. I don't listen to the devil. I listen to God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 12 in Hebrews 6. And thus, having patiently waited 10 years for Isaac, after he did things his way and created an Ishmael, and They're still paying for that in the Middle East today, by the way, what Abraham did, the contention and the fighting. Having patiently waited, he obtained the promise, which was also larger than the Isaac question. Hebrews 6:14, when God said, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you." You know, there's an expression the world has. They say, good things come to those who wait. But I say, God things come to those who wait. That's a whole different category. God things come when you're willing to wait. Faith and patience are a lifeline that builds character and get results. You want to change? You want to, your life to change? You have to depend on Him. You have to trust in Him. You have to wait in faith and patience and diligently wait and wait in hope. And He'll do what's necessary. In fact, He'll do what you can't do, actually. Be willing to trust Him and wait, and He delivers right on time. Oh, I do not like to wait. You do not like to wait. I know it. You know it. I'm telling the truth. Anybody out there? Oh, I can't wait. No. You hate it. Your flesh hates it. Number four, wait in and on His word. Verse 13 and 14, Hebrews 6. Verse 13, He swore by Himself. It's saying He gave His word. Let's be real about this. God's saying, I'm giving my word. I guarantee it. That's what it's saying. So we need to know His word and speak His word, because Psalms 119, 160, I think I omitted this one. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances are everlasting. What it's saying there, His word stands the test of time. It will not fail, ever. Numbers 23:19. All right, here you are. God is not a man, aren't you glad? God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely He will. Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. There is only one that can say that. That's Almighty God. And have it happen. You can say it, I can say it, and it may not happen. But when He says it, it will happen. You can tell I was sleepy this morning, and I missed another one. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. So we need to believe him at all times for all things. You know, a very good friend of mine, who you all know, or most of you know, one of the things that he always tells his young people when he's doing activities, they think they can't, or they're a little bit afraid on water skis or whatnot. Before he juices the motor, they say, "Help me, Jesus!" I think somebody back there said that before they got on a motorcycle. "Help me, Jesus." We should say that more often. We should make that a daily thing. "Help me, Jesus. Save me from myself." Oh, Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Psalms 37:5. "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it." You see, he not only partners with you, he does the hardest part. He does what you can't do. When you commit it to him, when you let go, when you stop holding on to those things that you struggle with and say, "I give up, help me, Jesus," he takes care of it. That's the truth. We need to learn that. That's an important thing to learn. Otherwise, you're going to have unnecessary struggle and hardship. Commit your way and trust the Lord, and he will do it. And number 5, heading towards the finish line this morning. Fresh faith and renewed vision comes from waiting on him. Without exception. So, verse 18 talks about laying hold of the hope that is set before us. If I'm not mistaken here, don't want to speak contrary to the word. That he who is we have taken refuge in would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. That's your role. You have to take hold of the hope that is set before you. God's not going to do that part. That's your part of a covenant relationship with him. The unchangeableness of his purpose, verse 17. There was another interesting thing I found here. Don't want to miss this. I skipped verse 17. God desiring to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, he interposed with an oath. Many of you might find in the margin in your Bible, don't gloss over those things. It says he guaranteed it. That's what it's saying. He interposed with an oath, with his word. He guaranteed it as when he spoke it. This hope, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure, certain, secure, steadfast, one which enters within the veil. And we were singing about some of that this morning, in closeness, in relationship, in his presence. Ooh. I'm getting a bonus up here. Whew. Within the veil. In the Old Testament, where was the presence? Within the veil, in the Holy of Holies. Jesus rent the veil on Calvary from top to bottom. Don't miss that. Man could not do that. That thing was like 50 feet high or something. I forget the exact distance, but you couldn't even do it with a ladder. The tent would collapse. He rent it. He tore it from top to bottom and made full and free access for those who would call upon his name. Mm-mm-mm. God is absolutely good. Oh, no surprise there, huh? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Getting close. Isaiah 40, verse 29 and 31. To 231. We all know this. He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. I like to run to that. He gives grace to the weary. The weary and tired. And vigorous young men. It's talking about you think you can do it in your own strength. And God says, you are not designed for that. You are not created for that. There's a God-sized hole in your life, and he's the only one that can fill that and do that. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. I'm telling you, when you think you have reached the end, his grace is sufficient. There's more than enough grace, but you have to take it. Man, I'm having a hard time this morning here. I got something to hold on to. It's a good thing, huh? No catcher available. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear. Do not fear. I am with you. Somebody needs to hear that. We all need to hear that. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's you, that's me, that's every blood-bought believer. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Waiting in his strength and in his grace. Thank you, Jesus. I read the wrong verse. I'm fallible. Romans 5, 1 and 2. No, I didn't. Second guessing myself. because I was looking up to Double Grace 5:5, hope does not disappoint. So, in closing, you need to put yourself freely. No one else can do that. And fully. No one else can do that. In His hands, knowing He always provides the lifeline you need to prevail and prosper. Always provides that. And the final verse, I think many of us should quote this more often than not, Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is committed to you. When will you get that into your head? He is committed. That's what covenant is. He's committed. But our part is all these things. Waiting in hope, waiting diligently, waiting in faith and patience, waiting in and on the Word of God, and waiting in His strength and in His grace for His glory.